RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirms development of geothermal power needs accelerating. Indonesia and Sweden to jointly develop renewable energy to generate electricity. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has expressed hope that a state-owned energy company PT Geodipa Energy will be able to boost the development of geothermal energy to help the government achieve its energy sector target. He emphasized the importance of immediately expanding geothermal power plants in Dieng, Central Java, and in Patuha, West Java. Meanwhile, Geodipa President Director Ricky Ibrahim said that he had explained to Vice President Yusuf Kalla about the progress in the Dieng and Patuha power plant projects, which would have capacity of 100 megawatts and 175 megawatts respectively by 2021. He also expressed the readiness of Geodipa to accept new geothermal power plant projects because the company has adequate human resources to develop downstream energy to downstream businesses. Ricky also added that the company's long-term plan is to develop 1,100 megawatts of geothermal energy by 2030. Indonesia and Sweden have agreed to jointly develop renewable energy to generate electricity. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Ignatius Jonan added that by cooperating with Sweden, which has more sophisticated technology for new and renewable energy, the domestic electricity tariffs will hopefully become more efficient. By signing a memorandum of understanding with Sweden to the event, he expressed the hope that the development of new and renewable energy to generate electrical power could be implemented across Indonesia to achieve more efficient electricity tariffs through effective technology. Meanwhile, Swedish Coordinating Minister for Policy and Energy Ibrahim Baylan said both countries will try to develop environmentally friendly power plants. Indonesia and Sweden can learn each other to create environmentally friendly energy. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Archandra Tahar said on Friday that Indonesia will strongly committed to developing the energy sector with Iran, including investment in an oil field in the country. He also confirmed that the state-owned energy company PT Pertamina is ready to invest in two oil fields in Iran and will submit its proposal soon. Pertamina's Director of Upstream Business, Samsu Alam, said that the national Iranian oil company NIOC subsidiary, the national Iranian South Oil Company, NISOD, held talks on paper 11 about the planned investment in Aptiomor and Mansuri oil fields. Pertamina and NIOD had early signed commitment to carry out an initial study of two giant oil fields in Iran, Altimor and Mansuri, that have oil reserves of 5 billion barrels. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Vice Chairman of the Indonesian Association of Muslim Intellectuals, IJMI, Priyo Budi Santoso, asked Muslims to promote national unity. IJMI also asked people not to divide in responding the result of the 2017 simultaneous elections in separate regions across Indonesia. He urged whatever the result of the election, it should be accepted gracefully by all parties' candidates who qualify for the second round or eliminated, and also their supporters. He emphasized to put in the next round, all candidates should try with a sympathetic, democratic and elegant manner. Prio also hopes that the competition in the simultaneous regional election in 2017 would not interfere with interreligious and inter-ethnic harmony, as the specific characteristic of the nation of Indonesia as a pluralistic nation. The floating clinic site Tuhulelai is scheduled to sail from Mutiara Beach, North Jakarta to Ambon Waters, Maluku on Saturday morning. The floating clinic was presented by Muslim organization Muhammadiyah. It was built as an attempt from Muhammadiyah through the Muhammadiyah's Institute of Alms or Zakat and Charity Sadaka and donation Simu to give access to healthcare for the poor in the remote islands in eastern Indonesia. Director of Lasimu, Andar Nubowo, said that Tuhulelai is the best clean initiative by Lasimu. The seat would provide solution to health problems in Maluku. It is also part of the implementation of Lasimu's program in 3T, outermost, leading and left, journey to the Maluku or Malukas would take as long as 7 days. Arriving in Maluku, the floating clinic would be inaugurated by Indonesian President Joko Widodo, coinciding with the session of Muhammadiyah Tanwir on February 24, 2017. The government has started to prepare a strategy to boost export in 2018 to support its ambitious target for economic growth of 6.1%. Trade Minister Secretary General Krianto Supri said at a media briefing in Jakarta on Friday that the target is far from this year's goal of 5.1%, so it needs to revise trade strategy for the next year. Representative of the Minister of Health a meeting with a number of CEOs ranging from the food industry to textile exporter and trade attaches from a dozen of countries on Friday to come with a new strategy and new growth target for 2018. The Minister Director General for the Foreign Trade, OK Nurwan, said goals included boosting export domestic trade both in and outside the oil and gas sector, as well as reducing the country's import dependence by importing local manufacturing. A blueprint of the treasury is expected to be published in May. The last item, Natuna is known to have a natural reserves and natural marine resources worth about $253 billion per year. Marine biota resources had become a backbone of their economic life. Senior researcher of LIPI, Awani Irawati, said the Natuna has good quality of fish like tuna and tarpaulin that had been export commodities with high selling value. With such circumstances, the people of Natuna should be able to attain a better economic life. More recently, a national seminar on maritime border resource management in Jakarta, when he said the current problem in the fishery sector is to do with supporting systems such as unavailability of cool storage, limited solar distribution, no adequate sustainable catch. The rampant illegal fishing activities with explosives occurring in Natuna could decrease the fishermen's catch. Therefore, the involvement of fishermen on natural resources management should be present.
Social concerns on natural resources management issues should not only be the government's responsibility. An open space should also be given to community and public sectors to actively initiate and participate as the problem solving. As I mentioned before, bottom-up dialogue process is the main idea. And the communicative space for bottom-up dialogue seems to be accommodated under the program, under the new program of integrated marine and fisheries sector. And this point is giving big space for the fishermen involvement and we want to concerns on maritime border resource management.
Wani Irawati further said the creation of triangular relationship among government, corporate and fishermen could enhance their economic life. For example, through the integrated marine and fisheries center, there will be no more unfulfilled economic needs for the fishermen. So it's very important to generate a bottom-up dialogue on maritime border of natural resource management. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week were reviewed in the editorial of some of the leading newspapers published in Jakarta and have been outlined in the press review.
Let's start with Compass newspaper, which in its editorial on Friday, February the 17th, wrote, "Uniting the Nation." The recent local election should not damage the national unity. Different opinions is common in a political contest. President Joko Widodo's statement that differences in political choice must not break the unity of the nation is very understandable. The president expects, after this election, all could return to the brotherhood of the nation. It should be admitted that the election have created a new distance among citizens, neighborhood groups, and even within a family. Conditions were made worse by the penetration of social media. According to Compass, in the context of the national unity, the candidates also have a responsibility to keep the unity of the nation from being torn apart. All parties believe the Jakarta candidate couples Basuki Jarot and Anies Sandi, who are young and modern style leaders, have a commitment to compete in a healthy and fair way in Jakarta as well as for uniting the nation. The elections a contest of idea, a competition of programs, and how to implement them. Only with the contestation of ideas and not merely the politics of identity, according to this newspaper, the election will be productive and keep the nation from being torn apart. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, in its editorial on Thursday, February the 16th, the paper wrote, "Our democracy is getting mature." The most important stage in the simultaneous election 2017, namely the voting on Wednesday, February the 15th, is over now. All parties should celebrate because so far the peaceful atmosphere has been well maintained. The situation is also expected to continue until the election process is really over, except in Sangihe, North Sulawesi, which was delayed because it was constrained by the distribution of logistics due to bad weather. No significant incidents in the voting in 100 other areas across Indonesia. All took place safely. Fears for wide variety of disorders did not come true. Of course, all parties should appreciate the organizers and supervisor of the election, the contestants, as well as the security forces who work hard to ensure the election unfolds smoothly. Especially because voters who had exercised their rights in a responsible way. The turnout in many areas was fairly high. In Jakarta, for example, it reached about 75%. After voting, the contestants just wait for the result. It's true that quick count survey agencies could become a reference, but the legitimate version is from the Election Commission on February the 27th, which later will become the only standard. The quick count of all survey agencies showed the pair number 2, Basuki Cahaya Purnama Jarot Saiful Hidayat, and the pair number 3, Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno, got most of the votes. To be a true winner, they must come head-to-head in the grand final on April the 19th. Agus Yudhoyono Harimurti Silviana Murni were eliminated from the contest. According to Media Indonesia, all parties have proved that as tenaciously as any competition, as hot as any situation, the election remains safe. No exaggeration to mention that this nation is more mature in a democracy. Attitudes like that are required to be maintained so that the simultaneous elections in 2017 not only actually ended up safely, but also managed to deliver leaders who deserve to be the leaders. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular program Today in History. While we begin with an event which occurred on 18th of February 1932 when Japan established the puppet state of Manchukuo in Northeast China. The creation of Manchukuo or Manchuria for Japanese support had finally become the subject of the conflict among China, Japan and the Soviet Union, including the control of the train line in the South Manchuria by Japan. The establishment of Manchukuo state was aimed at making Japan more secure to operate in mainland China. In the Second World War, Manchuria region was taken by Soviet Union. In the following year, the Soviet Union handed back Manchuria to China.
¶¶
The next ban was in 2005 when Metro TV journalists held as a hostage in Iraq. When on duty, two Metro TV journalists, Mutia Hafid and cameraman Budianto, on February 18, 2005, were kidnapped and held hostage in Iraq by a group of armed men. Metro TV established last contact with Mutia 3 days earlier. After negotiating with the hostage takers assisted by the local security forces, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Metro TV could finally liberate Mutia Hafid and Budianto on February 21, 2005. And the last event was in 1965 when Gambia gained its independence and the day becomes National Day of Gambia. Gambia was the first colonial country of the United Kingdom, UK, in Africa. The United Kingdom colonization on Gambia has begun since 1588 and four centuries. Natural wealth of this country was being drained by United Kingdom. Losses suffered by the United Kingdom due to World War II make the United Kingdom no longer able to maintain its colonial areas. So in 1963, the UK gave autonomy power to Gambia. On 18 February 1955, Gambia gained full independence and became a member of British Commonwealth countries. In 1970, the system of Gambia's government became republic. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's on Telkom S3 satellite successfully launched. 3S satellite belongs to the telecommunication company Telkom Indonesia was successfully launched from the Guyana Space Center in Kourou, French Guiana, on Tuesday at 6:39 local time early Wednesday. The process involved three parties, namely Ariane Space, Thales Alenia Space, and Telkom Indonesia. Ariane Space is the satellite launcher rocket company, while Thales Alenia Space is the Telkom 3S satellite maker. Telkom President Director Alex J. Sinaga, along with a number of directors and commissioners, as well as the official representatives of the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology and the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, directly attended and witnessed the launch of the satellite in Kourou. Alex Sinaga hopes Telkom 3S satellite can increase the capacity and quality of internet services in Indonesia. In Jakarta, the satellite launch was also witnessed by the Minister of Communication and Information, Rudiantara, from Telkomsel Smart Office Building. Along with hundreds of employees of Telkom Group, Rudiantara watched the launch from a large-size screen. Antara News Agency reported, after the launch, Rudiantara said the success in launching the satellite was an Indonesian achievement. He hopes with the launch of Telkom 3S satellite, business in Indonesia continues to grow. According to him, to reach remote areas throughout the country cannot rely solely on cable, but it should also be done via satellite. Telkom 3S satellite will complement the other two which are still in operation, namely Telkom 1 and Telkom 2. The reach of Telkom 3S covers the whole of Indonesia, Southeast Asia, and most of East Asia. Telkom President Director Alex J. Sinaga hopes the presence of the three satellites owned by Telkom will be able to reduce Indonesia's dependence on foreign satellites. In addition, Telkom 3S is also intended to reduce inequalities in access of information in all parts of Indonesia, especially in the frontier, outermost, and remote areas. To launch the 3S satellite, Telkom made an investment of $215 million for the overall cost of manufacture of satellite rocket launchers as well as insurance. Well, that was Focus Today on Telkom S3 satellite successfully launched. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Are RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Vice President Yusuf Kala has expressed hope that state-owned energy company PT Geodipa Energy will be able to boost the development of geothermal energy to help the government achieve its energy sector target. Indonesia and Sweden have agreed to jointly develop renewable energy to generate electricity. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan said on Friday that by cooperating with Sweden, which has more sophisticated technology for new and renewable energy, the domestic electricity tariffs will hopefully become more efficient. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Archandra Tahar said on Friday that Indonesia will strongly committed to developing the energy sector with Iran, including investment in oil field in the country. Vice Chairman of Indonesian Association of Muslim Intellectuals (IAIMI) Priyo Budi Santoso asked Muslim to promote national unity. The floating clinic site Tuhulelai is scheduled to sail from Mutiara Beach, North Jakarta to Ambon Waters, Maluku on Saturday morning. The floating clinic was presented by Muslim organization Muhammadiyah. The government has started to prepare a strategy to boost export in 2018 to support its ambitious target for economic growth of 6.1%. Trade Ministry Secretary General Krianto Supri said at a media briefing in Jakarta on Friday that the target is far from this year's goal of 5.1%. Natuna is known to have natural gas reserves and natural marine resources worth about $253 billion per year. Marine biota resources have become a backbone of their economic life. Senior researcher of LIPI, Awani Irwati, said that Natuna has good quality of fish like tuna and napoleon that had been export commodities with high selling value. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring culinary, arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourist destinations in West Java province. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id or RRI Play application on your smartphone. Stay tuned. Listeners, we never run off topics if we talk about the natural beauty in Indonesia. There are still many places that are not explored or introduced to citizens. Moreover, there are more new tourist destinations. Take for example a tourist destination in Purwakarta, West Java called Mbah Jawer Water Village. Listeners, listeners, the location of Mbah Jawar Water Village is located precisely in Parang Gombong, Sukasari District, Purwakarta Sub-District, West Java. This water village belongs to a part of tourist special zone which is located in Sukasari. This special zone was built after Purwakarta's region to construct the street from Cikau Bandung Jatiluhur cross Sukasari to Karung Mound in Manis District. The street also connects some cities. They are Purwakarta, Subang, Karawang, Bogor. The regional government has established the area to become a special economic zone for tourists. Listeners, Mbah Jawar Water Village is a tourist destination which is still in progress and estimated to be completed before June 2017. This tourist destination, which is built in Jatiluhur Lake using spent fund worth around 4 billion rupiah. In the process to build this water village, it involves state-owned companies, private and banking sectors. In this water village, there will be 40 floating homes like resorts, which are located along the lake of 3,000 meters. The resorts will immediately direct to lake and surrounded with tropical forest. Not far from that place, there are traditional market and culinary center. To reach that place, the tourists have to use a boat. Listeners, the origin of the name Mbah Jawar was taken from a folk legend in Jatiluhur. Based on the story that spread in the community a long time ago, there was a baby who had Jawar, or a comb like a cook, on the head. Baby's parents were shame and worried with their baby getting bigger. Finally, the baby was thrown away. The baby floated and his body was not found. The local people believed that the baby changed and became Mbah Jawar, Jatiluhur's watchman. Till now, as people believe, everyone who wants to fish in Jatiluhur must get permission from Mbah Jawar. If the people do not obey that, the fishing will not be satisfying. That was Indonesian Wonders edition for today with Mbah Jawar Water Village. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hey listener of Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika in Miscellany. Listener, during January until March for tourism industrialists in Indonesia, it is a pathetic period. Why? Because during that time, the number of foreign or local tourists visiting nearly reaches to 0 point. However, for industrialist tourism, in Yogyakarta, they have anticipated with organizing Jogja Heboh 2017. Well, today's miscellany will inform me about Jogja Heboh 2017. To anticipate low season tourists visiting on January until March, Tourism Agency coordinates with Indonesian Travel Agent Association and Hotel and Restaurant Association along with number of tourism industrialists in Yogyakarta to launch cheap tourism packages with special price called as Jogja Heboh 2017. Jogja Heboh that takes place from 1st until 28th February 2017 is collective discount program prepared for those who want to visit the cultural city, Yogyakarta, to look for cheap items and big discount tickets for some tourist destinations. Jogja Heboh 2017 is also expected to be able to boost tourists visiting to Yogyakarta by 20 until 25%. Head of Yogyakarta Tourism Agency, Ari Srianta, said that there are 4 packages in Jogja Heboh. These packages cover all tourism destinations and culinary spots at 4 regencies in Jogja City. Besides, the tourists can choose their own schedule and tourism destination. There are 4 packages offered by Jogja Heboh 2017. The first package is visiting Tubang Pindul Cave and Pine Forest. You can choose the second package if you love to selfie with ravines and green scenery background. The third package is visiting Museum Merapi, Jamu Gendong, Ijo Tempo, and Breksi Cliff in Prambanan, Sleman. The last package is visiting Frederbrook Fortress at the tip of Malioboro, Pakualam Palace, Dirgantara Museum, and Parangtritis Beach in Bantul. Well, listener, that was today's miscellany with the topic Jogja Heboh 2017. We will see you again in another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian group, Warna. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Dalam Hati Saja.
Kau pernah kata dan rasa rindu semua hanya padaku. Kau juga ungkapkan rasa sayang untuk yang kenkan hati ini. Mengapa kini tiada andai rasa itu pergi. cinta dalam hati saja.
Listener, a song entitled Dalam Hati Saja becomes a title of Warna's first album, which was released in 1998. The song tells about the feeling of missing and love which have been revealed, but time makes all of things not as beautiful as before. Warna, established in 1994, began their career from cafe to cafe. Then they participated in international competition. After a song created by Steven Haruska, which was sung by Warna, received Grand Prize, the third Philippines International Songwriting Competition, in 1997, Sony Music was ready to launch their album. Warna was established due to initiative Tamam Hussein, father of Nina Tamam, in 1994. Then, Tamam recruited Dea Mirella, Sarwana Tamrin, Victoria Margareta, and Stephen Kurniawan Tamaji. Let's listen to the second song from Warna entitled Kisah Terindah. Listener, Kisah Terindah is a hit song in Warna album entitled Warna with Friends, which was released in 2006. Like other groups in general, the change of personnel sometimes cannot be avoided. In 2003, Dea Mirella resigned from Warna. Then, Warna released an album entitled The Best of Warna Without Dea. In 2005, Nina Tamam also resigned from Warna and chose to solo career. Warna insists to still work in Indonesian music world by inviting Ira Pangestu Haryono, or Ira, and Asari Zinia, or Ari. Together with new personnel, Warna performs with new impression and nuance, and fresh, friendly, and hip image, and release an album entitled Warna with Friends. In this song, Warna sings in ballad genre with Yofi Widianto's sweet touching. The new image is reflected in a song entitled 50 Tahun Lagi, which was created by Dewi, playing in disco classic genre and arranged by DJ Sumantri. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Warna entitled 50 Tahun Lagi and Rindu Ini. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Lagi, tapi ku merasa kau tidak. Kau selalu bertanya apa ku masih cinta. Dari pertanyaanmu sepertinya kau takut. Sekarang ada 50 tahun lagi. Senang-senang. Dari pertanyaanmu sepertinya kau takut. Sekarang atau 50 tahun lagi ku masih akan tetap mencintaimu. Tak ada bedanya rasa cintaku, masih sama seperti pertama bertemu. Sekarang atau 50 tahun lagi ku masih akan tetap mencintaimu. Tak ada bedanya rasa cintaku, masih sama seperti pertama bertemu.
Cobalah percaya padaku, itu hanya ketakutanmu saja.
Ararai World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Ararai World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, Ararai World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This time why? 'Cause I need to know. hatiku yang mengusikku. Setiap kita bertemu ingin kuungkapkan apa yang sedang ku rasa, tapi lidahku keluh saat mata kita bertemu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Kita melihatnya, kamulah cintaku itu yang pasti bisa makan kita.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.